I was wondering.
Thank you.
2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 and 2. Jesse, can you read that?
Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith.
So Paul's asking for prayer, and this isn't the first time he's ever asked for prayer. He does it often. He needs continuous prayer. He's always asking about it, pointing to the fact that prayer is very important, and we all need it. You know, Paul, you think of Paul as just this guy after God, in which he was, and he was a great evangelist. He's a great apostle, but he still needed prayer. We all need prayer. You know, too often we just think about prayer when we're going through tough times. We don't think of prayer during good times, but we need to. We need to think about that, you know, to be always in prayer. You know, pray to get closer to God, to have that intimate relationship with Him. Pray for how you could have an opening and a situation might come up, that pray how you can help others. Pray that others get to know Jesus. You know, praying that God's word be glorified, meaning that you want it to be moving forward, to be growing bigger. You know, whether that's, you know, you're doing part of that to help spread that, or that it just doesn't get hindered by those people what want to stop it. You know, prayer is a powerful weapon against sin, and it's a weapon we're allowed to use. Now, keeping with the 2 Thessalonians main subject, the main subject being that the letter was talking about how people were confused about the day of the Lord, right? The day of the Lord, they were thinking that the day of the Lord's already came, and, you know, tribulation, everything was happening. So when Paul, he's saying he wants the Thessalonians to take the letter, or this information of this letter that he just got, that the day of the Lord hasn't started yet. He wants them to spread that word onto others. Paul is saying, just as it is with you, meaning it's just like you believed, how maybe you were fooled, I want others to know the truth. You know, and he wants them to do that. He wants them, because this is just a letter. If that person wasn't happened to be in church, that somebody still believes, you know, that person what did receive that letter needs to go out and tell them about the truth, right? Paul is praying that the Thessalonians take this news to help others in telling the truth. You know, Paul lived in a world where there wasn't internet, right? He couldn't just go and post a blog and then millions were able to see it in seconds. You know, this was done, the gospel message was done by word of mouth. Because they told somebody, the gospel message used new believers to tell other believers, hey, look what this has done in my life. This is real, it's changed things. And it could change your life. You know, that there's always been those who've tried to stand in the way of that. But they failed every single time. Because it's true. That's how we know it's true. Because if it wasn't true, it wouldn't have lasted all this time. You know, they couldn't stop the word of mouth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 3 through 5. Lily, do you want to try to read that?
The Lord is faithful, who will establish you, to guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you.
Direct
your heart into the love of God and into the patience of Christ.
So man, you know, we could fail. Let's just face it. We could fail at times. And our unfaithfulness will not and cannot change the fact that God is faithful. No matter what, God is faithful. And God's will be done with or without us. You know, Paul's not telling the Thessalonians, oh, well, you don't matter. No, he's just referring or reaffirming that we do have free will. You know, we can be used by God. Our God will use somebody else. You know, God wants us. He wants us to work with him. He wants to hire us. He wants you to be the employee of the month. But he gives us that choice. And, you know, that would give him great joy if we work with him. However, it is our choice. Now, Paul knows the Thessalonians are good people, right? He's confident in that. And he knows that they love the Lord. So he's confident that they'll make the right decision, you know, to keep that truth, to follow the Holy Spirit, to have love in their heart, and have love and patience. You know, and that's an amazing prayer, to love and patience. You know, when we're dealing with others, we've all had to deal with others, right? Sometimes they could be trying. And if we don't have love and if we don't have patience, if we don't have one or the other, or if we don't have both, you know, we find ourselves not caring. And that's a bad place, right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, Stephen. So Paul commands. He doesn't suggest. It's like, well, maybe do this. He commands. You know, saying that this is important. You know, he's like, no, you need to do this. Paul tells the Thessalonians not to keep company with somebody who is disorderly. You know, not just anybody, but who? Who does Paul say, no, you can't. You need to stay away from these people. Anybody catch who he's talking about? Anyone? Brother, right? Says every brother who's disorderly. Now, is he talking about your actual brother? Your sibling, yeah, if he's disorderly, you just don't be around him. You have to live in the same house, but no. When Paul's talking about a brother, who do we think he's talking about? Fellow Christians. He's talking about fellow Christians, right? So if those ones who call themselves Christians, yet they do not follow the instructions or lessons that Paul says traditions. This translation says traditions, but he's talking about the lessons that Paul set out. So this lesson about the day of the Lord, that it hasn't come yet, if they're not following that, then they're off. They're misleading people. They're stumbling people. And that's the Christians what stumble other Christians, it's a dangerous place because those people, it's like, well, they're Christian. They wouldn't do anything wrong. Or they wouldn't tell me the wrong things. You know, we need to get away from those people. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7, Michelle?
For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. I'm too far away.
Sorry. I wouldn't have been able to read that. For certain. So Paul is telling them, you know, compare what they do and what we have done. Judge which one's right and judge which one's wrong. We were just talking about it outside as far as, you know, there's websites as far as, I had a website that said it was going to rain, 70% chance of rain. Michelle has had a website that said, no rain, just a little cloud cover. You know, see what happens. You know, judge which one's right, which one was right, right? You know, there's a lot of great speakers, but the results of those speeches, that's what they're judged on. That's what people would be judged on. 2 Thessalonians 8 and 9. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toiled night and day, that we might not be a burden to any one of you. Not because we do not have the authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. You know, when Paul came into a new town or a new church, he didn't want people to get the wrong idea that he was in this to make money, to get a free meal. That's the only reason he was doing this. You know, he worked hard. We know he was a tent maker, and he worked at that. He actually, you know, had other, you know, he also talked about being a Christian at work, because we know he converted some people who were also tent makers. He worked day and night. He didn't want to burden anybody to have that feeling, oh, well, we have to take care of Paul. Now, he was a teacher. Right? He was a teacher, and he was a rabbi, you know, and the rabbis were supported by people. That's just what it was. So he had the authority to ask for money, because he was giving people good advice, and he deserved that, but Paul didn't want to be. That's not what the gospel message was about, is, oh, how can I get paid by telling you the good news? You know, now Paul would take a blessing only if it freed him up so that he could further the work of God. You know, that's the whole point of why pastors get paid, is because they're doing work for God and we're supporting them so that they could further that. Not so that they could get rich. It's so that they could further the kingdom of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 10 and through 12. Jesse?
For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread.
You know, we are built to work. Now, typically, we feel better if we're productive. I don't know if you've felt that way before, but I know I have. You know, and if we're not productive and we're just living off of handouts, typically we're not happy. Now, the strange thing is, I know we all think, oh, well, no, I would be happy. Or we're always working to be, oh, no, I want to do nothing. But there's a reason. You know, we want, as humans, we want to have a reason for being here. We want to be able to add to things. Yo, unfortunately, you guys, a lot of people, your generation, gets a lot of slack for people slacking off. And unfortunately, there is a lot of that. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, you could change that mode. You could change how people think. You need to have a good work ethic. You know, one of the reasons why the gospel message grew so fast and still around is because people were searching for more. People were searching for more, something real. They were tired of fake idols that did nothing and meant nothing. Now, there was a, more than likely in Thessalonica, there was those ones, what Paul is talking about, what believe the day of the Lord have already started. So they're like, well, why work? Jesus is here. We're just about to go home. Why am I working? You know, we still need to pay our own way. We still need to have that good work ethic. We shouldn't want to burden people. It doesn't matter if Jesus is coming back next hour. If he's coming back in 1 hour, we shouldn't just, I'll just forget everything I learned and I'll stop doing whatever it is because Jesus is coming back in an hour. No, we need to be faithful and keep going until that hour's up. You know, we need to be faithful and follow the Spirit to the last second. That's how we're prepared. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 13 through 15. Lily?
This epistle.
Yeah, epistle. Means letter.
Oh.
This document.
Note that person and do not keep
company.
Campaign with him. What he may have been ashamed.
So I know the verses before this verse, you know, it sounds like, oh, well, that doesn't sound like the gospel message about being friends, people. You know, don't have company with these people. You know, Paul isn't heartless. He knows there are those who are not able to work. He knows those people who have fallen on hard times, and it happens. People fall on hard times. They need to be helped. Paul wants people to bless other people. He wants them to be generous. He wants them to help out those who are not able to take care of themselves. Paul is talking about those who can work, who are physically able, but choose not to work. Because they are lazy and no people around them will take care of them. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Meaning that if you have too much time on your hand, you could be up to no good. You know, like I said, we were made to be productive. But if we get in this pattern of laziness, you know, we might not like it. We might not be happy about it, but we get so lazy that we can't get out of it. Sometimes it takes a big thing to get out of it and change. Newton's law of motion. An object in motion remains in motion. Yet an object what still remains idle. Which seems pretty obvious. I don't know why he's all famous, but it seems pretty obvious, but that is actual his law of motion. You know, these people what can work but choose not to work, we're not to keep company, meaning that we're not supposed to have close ties. But Paul says that we don't treat them as enemies. You know, we treat them as a brother. They need help. Now, we don't want to fall into that same trap, that same snare, but we need to pray for them and help them to get back onto the right path. Because it's not too late. It's not too late. They can change, and Jesus will forgive them. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. So I'm going to, I found this very interesting. I always have found it interesting because there's the Western, and we'd be like the Western Hemisphere, and then there's the Eastern Hemisphere. There's different traditions on different things, right? They have a different tradition on marriage. It seems completely wild. But this is talking about a marriage situation. Actually, 10 marriages. It's talking about the 10 brides. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who take their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, so what is happening is that, so these people get engaged, right? So, and you don't know, the bride is at home, and then the bridegroom has to go fetch her, or has to go and pick her up. So the bride doesn't actually know exactly when. You know, it's not a set date as far as our time. It's like, oh no, at noon, I will be there. I mean, sometimes I'm sure that happened. But so the bridegroom would set off on one end of the town, and he would go to the bride's property to get her. So in this case, the 10 virgins or the 10 brides, they took their lamps because it could have been at the evening hour when the groom showed up. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So what is happening is this bridegroom, he's coming through the town. And what happens is he's coming through the town and everybody's all celebrating. And it's kind of like this little parade is going on because they're all, yeah, congratulations, you're getting married. And then there's camels, and all of a sudden there's a mess, and so the bridegroom's delayed. They have to clean up on aisle 4, and it's just a mess. So it's taking some time. So while that's happening on this end of the town, the brides, they fall asleep. They're like, okay, it's been a long time. It's getting nighttime. I'm just going to go to sleep. And then at midnight, the bridegroom would come over when he's getting close. You'd hear the commotion of the crowd following them to the bride's house, and he yells out to her to come to meet him. At midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish ones said, give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. So when it means talking about trimming, I don't know if you ever lit an oil lamp, you have to trim the wick and you have to relight it. So they weren't able to get their lamps to work because the oil was out. And they brought nothing. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us in you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready. Shut. So the ones what weren't prepared, the ones what were foolish, they're like, oh, they're rushing down to Circle K, to Walmart to try to get the oil, but it's midnight, everything's taking a long time. Meanwhile, the bridegroom comes, and he gets the brides, and then he goes off. Afterwards, the other virgins came, also saying, Lord, Lord, let us in. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So this is a parable, and he's talking about how this wedding process relates to as the day of the Lord, as Jesus comes back. You know, the foolish ones were not prepared. They were not hard workers. You know, if they were hard workers, they would have been on things. We need to be like those wise ones. You know, always being prepared. You know, willing to help out, to work hard, not being a burden to others. You know, in everything we do, we need to give 100%. Right? We work as if we're working straight for God, as we are. You know, we need to be good, have that good work ethic. Can you close this in prayer, hon?